you know that from your position, you can change your situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully as God's servant brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. That doesn't sound like GLT that I know. And that's not like it. Can we rejoice? Just go ahead, just rejoice, just rejoice, just rejoice. Hallelujah. It's so refreshing and so rewarding to be back here again. First and foremost, I want us to do me a favor. Can we celebrate the set man and the set woman of this house? Let's celebrate them. I like us to celebrate all the pastors in the house. All the pastors in the house. Please help me celebrate this awesome man of God. Just wait. You know, I met two of them together several years ago. I'm talking of no other person but Pastor Dele Oshomakinde. It's also a very nostalgic feeling to see both of them were around just a few days ago. And they were in my house. And we're just talking about, you know, certain things. And I had to drive both of them to their hotel room. And Pastor Dele said, "Pastor, drive us. We drove you first." I said, it's a turnaround now. But in everything, we're so grateful. So, so grateful. And there's one more person that we have not celebrated. You. Go ahead, celebrate yourself. Go ahead, celebrate yourself. I wonder why you're acting so humble. Celebrate yourself, John. Celebrate yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, you may be seated. I bring you greetings from my wife and my entire family. In the next couple of minutes, I trust God that God is going to do something very, very memorable. And this meeting is going to kickstart a new season for you. And this season will last for a long time. Some seasons are short, some seasons are abrupt, some seasons are just elongated, and this one is going to be one of those elongated seasons. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, let's go straight to God's Word in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2. I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible version. "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors." Somebody say, "An abundant increase of favors." Say it again, "An abundant increase of favors." And then he goes on further and says, "I will make your name famous, distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others." One of the most exciting things that's happened to any man or woman has become born again is the fact that that man is a carrier of the blessing. Somebody said the carrier of the blessing. Okay, so much is talked about the blessing, but again, the blessing has a means by which it is expressed. It is expressed as favor. Somebody say favor. You know, I've heard a lot of persons talk so much about favor, but this evening I'm going to look at it from a very different perspective. God has an exciting future for your life. Secondly, that future is too big for your human ability to facilitate it. I repeat, the future that God has prepared for your life is too big for your human ability to facilitate it. That means all your education put together, all your family background put together, all your family connections put together, they can't bring you into the future that God has planned for your life. It is possible for you to have the best of human links, but there's one thing that God will not allow you to do. That is the subject of favor. He controls it. He says, I will give you an abundant increase of favors. The future that God has prepared for you is so huge, so big, so great, that nothing of your human ability can bring you into it. Then secondly, there are certain people you must meet in life. You must meet them. But without the favor of God, you can't meet such persons. There are certain places you must go to. Without the favor of God, you can't enter into such places. There are certain provisions you must handle before Jesus comes. Stretch out your hands and say, these hands, they are going to bear awesome provisions. You know, what you just declared to yourself now, there's nothing from your family background that can bring you into that picture what we're looking at. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. God has designed the favor of God as a facilitator for your future. Say with me, a facilitator. Say it again, a facilitator. What does a facilitator do? A facilitator will make things easy. A facilitator will bring things to bear. That means if the things I have talked about, your future, is going to have any sense of difficulty, which we do have the difficulty, the facilitator will make it easy. The facilitator will bring it to bear. I'm giving all this preamble so you can follow with me. The future that God has prepared for you has dreams. Your qualification alone cannot fulfill those dreams. Without the favor of God, the dream will remain an intention. God wants to activate the dreams. You know, there's nothing as painful when you see a man talk so much about the dreams that God has laid in his heart, and then 5 years along the road, the man is still talking about the dream because the dream has not come to pass. It's painful when you have very powerful revelation and the revelation is not taking you anywhere. It's very saddening when, after you know everything, you're still at the point of inertia. You have not moved. It's not the mind of God that will happen, because he has laid down things on how it will happen. And one of them is the favor of God. God spoke to Abraham. He said, I will bless you. I will impact you. I'll cause things to happen in your life through an abundant increase of favors. You know, the first time I read that scripture, I was wondering. I said, God, why are you using the element of favor? He said, my son, have you realized that people might know you, but they will not respond to you? There are people who know everything you're saying. They nod their head. And sometimes you wonder, why are you not responding? The reason why they're not responding to you is not because they've not seen your face. It's not because they don't know your name. They know your name. People don't respond to you because of the way they perceive you. Perception is the order of the game. Perception. You might be a very good woman, but your husband might perceive you as evil. You might be a very good person, but somebody must have heard something about you that is not true. And that holds true in the hearts of people. There are times you meet people and they've never heard anything about you. They already have made conclusions about you. And if you find yourself in that kind of predicament, it is only the favor of God that can deliver you. There are sometimes some people have made up their mind. They don't want to hear anybody from a particular tribe. It's your business. You might have all the best education, the best qualification, but the person says, I don't want to see anybody from that particular geographical location. And then some go some step further and say, I don't want to have any business with females. In that regard, there must be something else that must facilitate you into that domain. Come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 20, and we're going to take an adventure, and we'll look at a man called the father of faith. Because I've had to look at Abraham's story several times, and I was asking myself, God, how did you do this for a 75-year-old man whose life was already almost expiring? And you brought him to so tremendous wealth. And you brought him into so much goodness. He said, the same way I did for Abraham, I've laid it out for you as a template, a pattern. If you can find the pattern, you can locate the pattern, you can find the same thing happening again. Because the essence of a pattern is for you to use them again and again. Somebody say, find the pattern. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Somebody say, I'm blessed, but I need it expressed as favor. Okay. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Before we read Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, I would like you to listen to me. Abraham entered into a particular location. And when he got into the location, unknown to him, the man who was in charge of that particular location has a particular attitude that is not in favor with Abraham's progress. It is possible you can have your business located in a particular place, and the person that makes the decision there is adverse to your own progress. So Abraham stepped into that domain. As he stepped into the domain, the man began to display his attitude. And what is his attitude? The man wanted Abraham's wife. Pastor, that's not fair. That's not the subject for the teaching this evening. The man went on further and decided to go beyond boundaries and take Abraham's wife. The favor of God acts dramatically. Because sometimes what you consider as trouble is a setup for God to favor you. Because here you notice that God allowed the man to pick Abraham's wife. Because God has already planned out something. Please listen to this. The entire architecture of the blessing rests upon relationship. Because without relationship, the blessing by itself cannot be expressed. The blessing remains a theoretical thing. So you're going to be interacting with people, and not all of them are going to be believers. Not all of them go to the same school with you. Not all of them share the same values with you. But the favor of God will compel them to act according to the script that God has written against your name. Abimelech, by name, finally discovers that Abraham was playing a prank. And permit me to use the word, that is his own connotation. Abraham was pranking in terms of telling him stories about his wife. And Abimelech was just at the verge. That night, God appeared to Abimelech and said to Abimelech, this man that you are about to tamper with his wife, or rather, you have taken or adopted his wife. This man is a prophet. Please write this down. God is the master advertiser. God is going to advertise you this night before certain people in a manner that they can never resist you. You know, I was wondering, I said, before that encounter in Genesis 20 verse 7, Abimelech considered Abraham as a nuisance. You know, there are people who don't know anything about you before. Please, I don't want to see him. Why don't you want to see him? I don't like him. Why don't you like him? I don't know. I don't like his face. Tell him to go. You know, it's sad when you become a victim of someone's prejudice. It's sad when you don't know anything and somebody is using the past to deal with you. It's sad when the person is using people who came from where you were coming from to use that as an index to deal with you. Abraham found himself in a situation when Abimelech was just dealing arbitrarily. But God stepped in. What exactly did God do? God just simply did what he's famous for. Tweak the perception of people. God does not go about tweaking the perception of everybody in your life. He tweaks the perception of strategic people. Strategic people. These are people that will make a decision, and once they make the decision, every other person follows. Abimelech in one night was told that Abraham was a prophet. And in my head I said, when was the first time Abraham did a prophetic declaration? And God said, listen. I don't deal with you on the basis of your history. I deal with you based on my future. And your future is my history. When I talk to you, I'm telling you about what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Neither has it even crossed your own mind who you are in me. He said, because in my own scheme of things, Abraham was a prophet. I said, yes, sir. Can I announce to you, it might take your mind a lifetime to discover who you truly are. You are so awesome that it takes only God to introduce you to yourself. I know after this meeting, if you were self-depreciating yourself, you're going to change. Because if you don't know who you are, you can't enter into the things that God has said about you. You've got to know who you are. Abraham was introduced to Abimelech as a prophet. And then the next thing is what I want to major on. Perception determines how people respond to you. People don't respond to you because of your CV. They respond to you based on how they perceive you. They're going to look at your CV and say, yes, I know she comes from Ife, and so what? But if the perception is right, they might not even look at the book. And everything you're saying, they're just nodding. They're just nodding. For your sake, this night, God is going to confide in certain people about you. In a manner that when your name shows up, they are going to go beyond the norm. Please, I want you to think with me. A man comes for a job, first day at the job, and they have four persons vying for the same job. They've all written the same interview, presented the same qualifications. And then, while they are standing all together, the boss looks at one man and starts to smile. You supervise all of them. Sir, you heard me. You will supervise all of them. The guy said, I started crying. He said, what I was crying was this. I've never seen this before when we all appear for a job and all of us are at the same level. Automatically, one person is just elevated. That's favor. Because there's nothing logical that you can use to explain it. How it happens, God would place an advert in the hearts of the people that truly matter in the scheme of things concerning you. In the journey of your life, there are certain people you must meet. I repeat it again, in the journey of your life, there are certain people you must meet. And as I speak right now, some of them are already arguing about you. You know the argument, the things I've heard about him, they are not too good. I don't think he can fit into it. But you know, after this meeting, everything will change. You know, it's so amazing when certain people who have never met you before, they are dealing with you on the premise of what people said that has never been verified. You know, Pastor Shegun, I was caught up in this one day. I was in one season of life that I don't think I ever want to pass through again. I just dropped my son in school, so I went into a particular shop. That day I was dressed down, wearing a pair of jeans, and I just dropped. And I entered into the shop, and this guy was talking about me. Sincerely, I was standing there with this guy. And because the way it goes is this. For 12 years, we operated church. There was no photograph of mine in any handbill. So, when I entered into the shop, so I asked the guy, I said, do you know who you're talking about? He said, even if you know anything, you're a floor member at that church. So, I said, okay. So I said, who's feeding you all this information? He said, I have a person in that church. He gives me all the information. I said, okay, fine. So I said, okay, what we're going to do with this, I'm going to give you the church phone number. Call this number. And he said, fine, we'll call the number. So when he called the number, so they asked him, who gave you this number? He said, there's a particular man. He was wearing a pair of jeans. He just came in into this place. He said, do you know who you talked with? He cannot be the man. So the next day, I came back to the shop. And I looked at him. And then he looked at me. He said, very sorry. You know? He mistook me for someone else. It sounds funny, not so. When you're a victim of prejudice, prayer by itself, alone, if the favor of God doesn't kick in, can't help you. It's painful. It's painful when you believe that you deserve it. It's painful when you believe that I have worked hard for it. And when it comes to the point of selection, they pick someone else. It's painful when you have everything it takes in your own estimation to be in a particular position. But as it were, by experience, you're not there. In Acts chapter 9, verse 27, don't turn to it, just listen. There was a man called Saul of Tarsus. I doubt if there's anybody in this auditorium that has the kind of revelation that Saul had. If you do, maybe you're still in the gestation process. Saul of Tarsus has so much revelation that 3/4 of the Bible we are now reading today, the New Testament, he wrote it. But you see, revelation without favor will bring frustration. The Bible says of Saul of Tarsus, he wanted to join the council of elders in Jerusalem. He tried many times. And every time he tried it, I don't know what happens, but this is just my take on it. Some people just see that man, if he enter here, it doesn't matter. And then one day, somebody say one day. I prophesy over you that God will raise up a Barnabas tonight. Listen. The people who are in the likes of Barnabas, they follow your story. They know everything taking place in your life, but they will never show up until the appropriate time. Because Barnabas was not there when Saul of Tarsus had an encounter with God. But when Barnabas spoke to the council of elders in Jerusalem, he recounted everything that happened to Saul of Tarsus. And I asked, how did this man know? And the Spirit of God said, all I did was to advertise Saul before Barnabas. And tonight, God will begin to advertise you in a manner that nobody would ever have imagined would happen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please write this down. Others would apply. You would be recommended. You didn't hear me. Others will apply. You will be recommended. Sir, what is the difference between application and recommendation? You've not tested it before. I have. I've been there. I understand what recommendation does. You just walk in. And as you walk in, you drop the card. The person looks at it. You're from so-and-so person. He picks the phone. This person says, oh, he's my boy, he's my boy. Look, the kind of things you would never have imagined before. You're just stepping into it immediately. Ha! I've tasted it. I understand how it is like. Where the same offices you want to see the particular person is not on seat. But I just saw him pass now. I said he's not on seat. What do you want? May you not meet those aggressive people they call PAs. And when you submit the letter, I'll send it there. I just put it somewhere. It's funny, and you just see, we imagine about, but I mean, can you move a few steps the other way, please? You are creating a nuisance. Just move the other place, please. Don't you understand English? Move. And you know, when they're telling other people move, then you just see somebody being held by the hand. Is the MD in? Yes, he's inside. Just tell him someone is out here. Oh, open the door. Come in. Tea or coffee? You know, what I want to do is to paint an image with you. Because if I can capture the image in your heart, it is done. If you can break through inside, you can break through outside. Look, we're not looking for something outside. We're looking for something to be germinated inside. If I can cause that picture that you will not write the application, you'll be recommended. That amen has no license. Okay. Saul of Tarsus have been struggling to enter. Somebody say struggling to enter. Somebody say one day. The prophetic declarations initiate favor. I've seen it many times. I was in Abuja in the month of October. And at Pastor Sonny Ogidibu's church. And I was talking and I said, one of the things you need to learn is that when you come for meetings like this, the Bible says through the foolishness of preaching, many will be saved. The saved in that context does not mean being born again. It means any kind of struggle you've been going through before, through the foolishness of preaching, can terminate it. If there was anything that was contrary-wise to what God has said about you, through the atmosphere where the word is being taught and preached, it can be terminated. But the thing is this, you need to be sensitive enough, you need to be very positioned enough, so that as the word is coming, you can lambano it. That is my own. Right? Because sometimes, some people are too engrossed with what they are going through, that they forget that God needs now to create a future. Let me repeat that. Okay. There are only three dimensions of life. Past, present, and future. Right? Champions and successful people know that you need to maximize now to create a future. Unwise people forget that the past can never create a future. So each time the devil begins to remind you of the past, he's only deceiving you. So if you can bring yourself to the now, and just drop everything taking place around you. And just realize that in the next few seconds, doors can open on their own accord without any assistance. The doors that have never opened before, they will open at this very moment. Please listen. So while I was teaching, I said just offhandedly that the doors of civil service has opened. So there was a woman that was somewhere, and she just said, "Amen, oh, amen, oh." And I said, in 72 hours, I kept on resonating, 72 hours, in 72 hours, it was that. Listen, before I got back home, I received a text message saying that this woman came to church the next day saying to Pastor Sonny that, "Listen, I just received the message. Send your resume." He said, "From where?" He said, "I never knew that this establishment existed in Abuja." He said, "When I got to the place, I saw different persons, all of them just lining up, talking about different things, and they were telling me, 'Come and do medicals, come and do medicals.' How? Where? How? With what?" He said, "I only found out somebody that had long seen a long while, and he said, 'You gave me your CV 4 years ago.'" He said, "Me?" I said, "What you don't understand is this. Listen, listen, just watch. When you come into a meeting like this, their personalities called angels. They are waiting for the activation of the word. And listen, you know how angels operate? Once the word is declared now, right within the space, angels begin to disturb certain people who ordinarily will never want to talk to you, who will never want to see you. And you know what? They begin to persuade them, convince them. And listen, listen, listen. If within GLT space, Ife is not going to work, they move to Lagos. And if within Lagos it will not work, they move beyond the country. And all of these ones, they happen within the speck of a second. You know, sometimes I ask some people, I say, "Do you know what it means to come for a conference? It's not just to come, oh, hallelujah." I said, because in that dimension, things are going to happen that can turn your life around. Listen, I came for some 5 persons here. Listen, just listen. You have been asking plenty questions about why things are the way they are, why things are the way they are. The reason why you're asking that question, because it's connected with your destiny. There is something about the blessing. The blessing makes you think globally. It says, out of you, out of you, out of you, out of you, something from within you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. The question you will ask yourself is this: what exactly is that thing? Listen. There are things that even your father who gave birth to you does not even know about you. Your mother doesn't even know it about you. And you know the funny thing? You don't even know it about yourself. You don't even know about yourself. Because sometimes all you just do is that you just find yourself saying some kind of things. You're just saying some kind of things. They are all related to something. There was a man called Gideon. Gideon began to ask questions, "Where are all the miracles? Where are all the miracles?" What Gideon did not understand was this. He was only setting himself up for a moment of an encounter. When the angel came and said, "Thou mighty man of valor," destiny to solve problems for the nation emerged. There are 5 persons here. Listen, you are going to remember this meeting. You're going to solve problems for nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have this word for a particular person here. You're going to provide ICT solution for banking industry in a particular African nation. The very things that you have been toying around with and nobody's listening to it, it was not meant for this locality. Don't bother. Don't bother. Some of the people who left this place, who tested about what you were doing before, they are going to announce you to those nations. You will simply be recommended. Remember what I said. Others apply. You just walk in because they said. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, while praying for this meeting, God showed me in a very clear picture. It was funny. He said, tell that man, you know what they call Iru in Yoruba? Dawa dawa. Somebody in this house is going to convert it into cubes. And from that moment, you will remember how it happened. It happened in this meeting. Because all the things you've been looking for, they are going to come from the foolish things of this world. God has never changed his order. He will use foolish things to confound the wise. Number three, there are things that you have learnt in school and you've been wondering what is all these things for. They were not meant for this particular locality. It's meant for the nations. It is meant for the nations. I prophesy over you, my brother, that I see kings of nations sending envoys to receive answers from your lips. They are asking, how can we solve this problem? Please, you may have your seat. You know, I talked so much about favor. With the little time that I have, I'm going to teach you about how to activate it. How to activate it. When you relate with people, if you're not aware, they're depositing things into your life. God brings people into your life for a reason or for a season. It is your responsibility to discern what they're for. If you don't know the reason why someone is in your life, that person could be in your life, and the very thing the person is supposed to do, because of your lack of knowledge, you are being held down in entering into that particular season. And also, when the devil wants to mess up your life, he brings the person into your life too. That's why I said the whole architecture of the blessing is resting on relationship. Please watch this. You see, this particular podium is resting on these things. The blessing is resting on relationship. He that blesses you is blessed. He that curses you is cursed. Where does that happen? Relationship. So that means within the confines of your relationship, you're either moving forward or going backwards. That's another thing. But the part I want you to see is this. Humility is a law. Like gravity is a law. God gives grace, capacity, adequacy, sufficiency to the humble. And that same God will resist the proud. I didn't write it, it's a law. I'm just quoting the law. Right? What that means is this. Whether you're in Ife, or whether you're in Ireland, or whether you're in Great Britain, the law of humility will work. How does humility work? Humility demands that you have the correct posture in every relationship. Posture means, if I'm going to relate, for example, please sir, can you come, sir? Please sir, just for this teaching, sir. You know, I'm relating with him, right? I can decide that in my course of relating with him, to become so high-minded. Am I speaking now? But I forget that in my being high-minded, this man has something he's supposed to transfer to me. Right? So in my being high-minded, do I interact with him? High five. Nothing from him will come towards me because it's a law. Listen, what Pastor Daley has is not under his control to release it. See, you don't understand. If it was so, this man would go to all the persons he knows and deposit it there. It is not in his control to release it. No. So what happens is this. Anybody who fulfills the law of humility towards him, there will be an activation even without his knowing. You see, if you understand this, when the woman that went to the back of Jesus, he didn't seek for any permission. Jesus simply said, I just sense something has left me. I just want you to understand that. Please listen. Now, God does not tell us the age of who will bless you. Am I correct? Did he say so? Did he tell us the complexion? Did he tell us the gender? That's where many of us miss it. Look, God will put the answer of your prayer in the mouth of a gate man. And watch how humble you are in relating with him. You know, there are sometimes you just feel so full of yourself that you forget that there are people who know some things that can help you. Now, please watch this. Naaman, general. People respond to the general. When the general is talking, people, hold on. Now, in Naaman's house was a housemaid, like they say in Yoruba, Omodo. Now, housemaid walks up to general, sir, there's a man in Ife. I know the man, Pastor Shegu. I used to be there. Perchance, if you can just go. Okay. Watch. Naaman was humble enough to receive from housemaid. But Naaman was not humble enough to receive from Elisha. You see, you can be very humble when it doesn't really matter. And become very... Because I was asking myself, why did this man get so humble before house girl? And when it matters the most, who does he think he is? Look, if the devil is not a strategist, then he's a fool. The devil is a strategist. He doesn't waste his resources. He waits for the very, very, very important time. He knew that all those things that Naaman was doing was just preamble. The most important thing was the relationship between him and Elisha. I thank God there was another person that looked at Naaman and said, Sir, if this man told you a very difficult thing, will you not do? Yeah, this simple thing, just do now. Look, most of the things you're praying for, if God were to give you all of them, you would become too pompous. Nobody would be able to relate with you. There are some things that you are praying for, God will not give you the answer. He will put it in the mouth of someone else so that you can relate. Back to our illustration. Listen, in my relating with him, right, if I don't assume the right posture, I might miss receiving from him. Am I related to him? Yeah, Pastor Shegun, what does he know? You know, at that point in time, he doesn't know what I am saying in my heart. And because he's not responsible for the activation of what is upon him, he might be laughing with me, and eating with me, and joking with me. And the thing he was supposed to deposit, he will walk home with it. When I assume the right posturing with him, which is humility, please, humility does not mean you become a footmat. It simply means at that point in time, understand who you are. Because if you understand who you are, you will never feel put down, because I understand that in relating with him, he is still who he is, but an anointed man of God. I need to separate his humanity from what his divinity has made him to be. If I don't relate with him like that, the answer can be in his mouth. I'll be walking around and God is saying, listen, that man is just wasting his time. I put the answer here and he's going everywhere. Until he learns his lesson, he will not come here. Listen, the people that God has placed in your life, he doesn't have options. There are only few of them. Only a few of them. When I relate with him well, please listen, when I relate with him well, the way it works is this. He himself, he might just say some things that he'll be wondering, ah, did I just say that now? Because the things he's saying, there is something called unction and utterance. Once I activate the law of humility, utterance will flow. There are things he will say, he just said, okay, let's just say a word of prayer. Ha! And then he goes back, ah, did I say that kind of thing? Because I activated the law of humility. God gives grace to the humble, and then he resists the proud. Somebody say, I hear. Thank you very much, sir. Can we give him a wonderful round of applause? Number two thing that is important when it concerns activating favor, be flexible. It doesn't matter what you have planned, be flexible. Some people are too rigid. Be flexible. God will not tamper with the original intent. He will tamper with the approach. I repeat, God will not tamper with the original intent. He will tamper with the approach. He wants the approach flexible. He wants the approach flexible. He wants the approach flexible. That's why the Bible tells you, do not judge anybody after human standards of value. I have found out in my own little journey of life that the people who truly have money, they are not loud. How many of us can agree with me? They are never loud. Sometimes when you walk past them, you'll be wondering, ah, this one, ah, is here. The people that don't have, they are the ones that advertise it. The ones that don't have, they don't advertise it. My friend, we were talking about this one time, and he had been praying about God giving him a breakthrough. And then he had seen it inside, how God had shown him that the breakthrough will come, but he didn't know how it will happen. So he had his mind on a particular man to go and share his story with. So, unfortunately, that man was inaccessible. So there was a man, he barely knows this man. So he met the man sitting down in the lounge, and the man said, why do you want to see Pastor Shegu? I want to see him. He said, just tell me what you want to see him for. He said, look, I need to see him. Okay, can we see by 4 p.m.? He said, I was so reluctant when I got to this man's house. So this man told me, please, can you join me for dinner? I said, look, I'm not eating. So coffee or tea? Nothing, just mineral. He said, why sat down there? So the man forced me to come and sit in front of him. And he said, young man, do you know that when I listened to you in the afternoon, you just reminded me of how I started my business? He said, tell me your story again. He said, I told him everything and I told him how much I wanted. And then the man just laughed. So he laughed and he said, wow. Okay, let me finish my food. Said this man walked into his room and brought $1 million cash. He said, ah. You see, you know the same way you open, I open my mouth. Hey, he said, for the first time, I was afraid carrying money. He said, if they ask me where did this thing come from? He said, the only thing that was in my mind was, if this man counted 1 million, how much is remaining there? I said, you see this man, he was wearing palm sandals. Yeah. And then his car does not reflect the kind of money. He said, God told him, he said, I just want to teach you a lesson. He said, you see, he said, your problem was this. You have always been expecting this thing to come in a particular manner. He said, but I will always use the element of surprise with you. I just pray you sit back and you begin to put two and two together. Don't become too mindful of what you're going through that you don't give opportunity for the supernatural to take place. Because sometimes you're so mindful of it. How is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? You are not God. And secondly, God is not looking for any other thing but an avenue to express himself. God wants to express himself through you. Allow him. I told you that the future that God has for you is so big that nobody in your family would believe you will ever enter into that kind of thing. Okay? If what you call a future is what everybody around you are saying, that we know you will become like this, they don't understand the plan of God. The plan of God is that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. You know when you know that you're in the plan of God? When they look at you, Bayo, Bayo, no, how? You know why it is amazing? Because in the scale of things, you never measured up. And that is how God works it out. Because if you measure up, then it is not God. Please permit me to share a narrative with you. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 10, because of time, I'll just push them together. There's a man called Saul. When the prophet met Saul, Saul said, why are you telling me this kind of thing? Because there's nothing in my family background that agrees with this. Abba, we don't do this kind of thing now. But what he did not understand, that if God selects you, he recommends you. When God selects you, he recommends you. And I'm happy to say that all the people looking at me today, you got born again because God selected you. I told someone, I said, listen, you don't understand this born again experience. I said, if born again was that easy, everybody will get born again now. I said, it's not so. Because the people who come in here, they hear, they will never be saved because all their own they are talking about, is he talking about? Does he understand this country? Oh God, listen. You know it doesn't play out like that. And then some people will now tell you that, look, he's a lucky man. Listen, there's nothing like luck. Nothing like luck. Saul was busy looking for his father's lost donkeys. Why was busy looking for his father's lost donkeys? What he did not understand was this. God will use even your foolishness to rearrange your life. You know, Saul was busy looking for his father's donkeys. What he did not understand was this. He was stepping into destiny. Gradually. You know, you've heard this word oftentimes used. Destiny. Let me explain what destiny is. Destiny is the picture that God saw about you. Before your father and your mother, they came together and God said it was good. It is that thing that it's called destiny. God saw that a time will come. Presidents will sit down and say, go summon her. First ladies will say, give me her number. I want her to come down now. Saul came before the prophet. And the prophet began to say things. And Saul was saying, what's this man talking about? My father is not a king. My uncle is not a king. My grandfather is not a king. This man is mistaking it. No, it's not mistaking it. Because when God introduces your destiny to you, it will never agree with your mind. If it agrees with your mind, it's not God. Because it has to conform with his nature. Eyes have not seen it. Ears have not it has not entered into the ears of man, nor crossed your mind before. But the part that I'm going to is this. I like this. Saul did not understand that the prophet, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, God spoke to him. He said, I'm going to confide in you. I'm sending you a man tomorrow. Look, as you're here now, God is already disturbing certain people who are praying. And as they are praying, God is showing them pictures of you, pictures of you. And he's wondering, who is this man? Saul appeared. As Saul appeared, you know the amazing thing that I like in that narrative? Saul was standing in front of Samuel and was asking, show me the house of the seer. And he could just look at the seer laughing. This young boy doesn't know that he's entered destiny. Look, may your discernment be awakened this evening. It will become so sharp that from a distance you know that is it. That is it. That is it. Listen. Listen. When your discernment becomes sharp, there's a way you pray that even you will know something is unusual here. Look, you don't understand. God is the one that is at work in you. He's not experimenting. All he wants you to do is to take certain steps, and then he will begin to stir up certain things. Look, you are telling yourself you don't pray. By the time you start praying, look, the kind of prayer you'll be praying, you'll be wanting what is about to come out. It's called betting a season. And as you're praying, something is breaking forth, breaking forth, breaking forth. And you know, as you're praying, God is rearranging processes. God is rearranging processes. God is rearranging processes. Listen, for your sake, somebody will tell himself, okay, let me just go to Ife. And the person is wondering, what do I need to go and do? Let's just go there. And he's like, do you know, I just came all the way from Lagos. I really didn't know why I came. It was because of you. 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 As Saul was standing in front of Samuel, Samuel said to his servant, go bring the reserve portion. Somebody say, I will eat the reserve portion. How many of us have been to a function when you notice the first five rows reserved? And then because you were so naive, you went to sit there. Somebody just taps you. Get up. And you know, every other person is looking at it because he didn't check reserved. What they are saying is not meant for you. It's not meant for you. But when it is reserved for you, watch. You know what I like about reserved seats? Most people who sit on reserved seats, you notice they come late. Listen, you have been worrying yourself for nothing. Watch this. Watch this. When Saul entered into the hall, the Bible says he met 30 men seated. Ha! So I was asking, I said, how does this? And I guess we were looking at this guy. So 30 of us were waiting for this guy. So this guy just walks in and they tell him, sit there. Hey, get the reserve portion. You could see all of them wondering, what is going on here? What's going on here? I've been here for over 5 years. I've been here for over 14 years. I've been here for 25 years. And where's this guy coming from? Listen, listen. When the endorsement of favor takes place, time is compressed. Time is compressed. Saul sat down. I don't know how 30 of those men got there, but Saul did not struggle. He just walked in. He just walked in. Listen to me. Others have labored. Others have labored. God has caused you to come into their labor. Oh, others have labored. And God has caused you to come into their labor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what is happening now? As far as you can see it, it is yours. As far as you can see it, it is yours. As far as you can see it, it is yours. Listen to me, my sister. Listen. You will no longer serve mere men. Somebody who has tasted of your culinary act will speak of you in certain places. You are going to serve envoys, international delegates will sit, and you will be called upon, not by application but by recommendation. You will be recommended. Listen, there are some people who have been looking at you. They are not looking at you to toast you. They are looking at you to get the latest update. Because it's not time for them to show up in your life. As we begin to do this now, we are pushing them forth. 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 Finally, I want to say this. Before you get to the nations, there's a progression. First, your Jerusalem. First, your Judea, Samaria, and the outermost part of the earth. One day, I was praying. I was praying, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 34. I see the nations, and the Holy Spirit said, stop. He said, do you realize that before Solomon began to interact with nations, he ministered to prostitutes first? He said, many of my people want to talk nations, but they don't like obscurity. He said, you must enjoy obscurity first before I will launch you out from obscurity. Pastor Shegun did not start the way he is today. Am I correct? As long as you despise the days of humble beginnings, brother, the nations will still remain far. When Solomon was ministering to those two prostitutes, nobody knew him. Nobody recognized his wisdom. But you know what? He was confirming the law of the laws of favor. First in your Jerusalem, first in your Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. There are some people who do not want to serve in this church because you're looking for a big place. Oga, you missed it too. If Solomon did not minister to those prostitutes, he will violate the laws of the Spirit. After this meeting, go and look for a place to serve. You know why? While you wait for the big thing, serve. While you wait for the big thing, serve. While you're waiting for that big thing that God showed you at this meeting, serve. While you're waiting for that big ministry that you saw this evening, serve. You know why? It is in service that God will give you your own name. He will give you a name. He will give you a name that nobody can challenge. Lift up your hands and let's pray. The very person that taught you in school is coming to sit before you to tell you, you know what? I notice the tables have changed. And God has blessed you. I can't hide it. I have to listen to you. Because the tables have changed. But sir, you taught me in my university days. That was university. Because in the scheme of things, the things have changed. Lift up your hands. I command the release of the dew of heaven over you. Please watch this. I'm going to cross my hands. And as I cross my hands, what is illogical? Some say this can never happen. As I cross my hands, the days of the predictable things, they have come to an end. The favor of God ushers you to places before people, and you behold provisions the eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has even crossed the hearts of men. God save and excel.